Krishna is an ocean of mercy. And it says that Lord Brahma becomes a cloud of that ocean. So then that cloud of Brahma comes to the mountain of Sandipani Muni, and he is like, then rivers flow down from that mountain. And then Sandipani Muni becomes Krishna's teacher, and Krishna learns from Sandipani Muni, although he is the reservoir of all knowledge. Everything begins with Krishna. Still, Krishna makes himself dependent on his devotees. Although Krishna is the all-powerful, the one who can show Arjuna the universal form, no problem to Krishna. When Arjuna asks, "Oh Krishna, please show me that universal form," then Krishna shows a form with so many faces and so many mouths in all directions. And somehow or other Arjuna can see in all directions, although ordinarily who can see in all directions? But Arjuna sees everything simultaneously. Krishna in front, Krishna on the side, in the back. But huge faces, huge mouths, and that universal form, it bewilders him. Suddenly he realizes that his friend Krishna is not just an ordinary person, not just his friend, but is truly all-powerful. And Arjuna is experiencing some fear in his heart. He's seeing how Kalusmi Lokaksayak script, time I am, destroyer of worlds. And Arjuna sees how worlds are being destroyed and being chewed up by the teeth of the endless mouth. He sees all the heroes on the battle of Kurukshetra also being destroyed. Everything in this world, the entire universe, it comes into being, it flourishes for a while and ceases to exist. To us, something enormous. To us, the ocean seems like eternal, wave after wave. To Krishna, it's just a little bit of water, a puddle that will disappear after some time. Just as after the rain, there are puddles in the street. They disappear, just like that. But this temporary little world, so important to our minds. Oh, whatever is happening today and yesterday and hopefully tomorrow, the good things will happen. Oh, please, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh please, oh please, oh please. I'm your devotees. Send me mercy, oh Lord. Send me some enjoyment, send me some happiness, send me some good things. Good, please. Good. For me. And I'll do something for you too. Here's a flower. Krishna. But all is simply going on, and life after life, the living beings change their bodies. 8,400,000 species. And in each of them, we try to enjoy. Even the bacteria are having parties. On Saturday night, when you have a headache, then they have a festival. Think about it, big event going on. You're sitting there, oh, I'm so sick this Saturday. The bacteria have a party. Because they too are in this material world to enjoy. All living beings are trying to enjoy in the material world. But enjoyment is with Krishna. That is enjoyment. Dancing, someone's dancing in the world. But spiritual dancing is different. Because it has the spiritual dimension. Not only are we dancing, but as we're dancing, all this karma is disappearing. Not only are we clapping our hands, where did he go? But with each clap, sins are flying in all directions, as birds sitting in a tree when we clap, fly away in all directions. In the same way, all the sinful reactions are flying away.
Yes,
we know. We know that there is some of that karma piled up, something, and therefore we don't know what's coming. But all that goes away. It becomes light. So this dancing is better dancing, because it is dancing that is not only fun, but it purifies the heart. One can swim on the floor and swim across the ocean of nescience at the same time. Yeah. Why not? One can. In this way. It's got a double dimension. Double dimensional activity is what we are performing here. Yes, we eat. Oh yes, but not just to become big and fat, although with some, you would think that that's what's on their mind. But no, the other side is that the heart becomes purified. And the burden in the heart, that which weighs us down, that which makes us feel kind of dissatisfied, that empty, hungry feeling, that feeling of still not being satisfied. No matter what you have, that kind of feeling. Is this it? Is this it? Is this what life is all about? This is it. Is this really it? But in Krishna consciousness, there is no such limitations. That is the result of karma. So the karma that we carry with us for many, many lives is bringing that dissatisfied state in our mind, which sometimes occurs. Just like today, when we were about to approach Johannesburg with the plane, the pilot said, "There is fog, there is mist. It's all the way on the ground," he said, "but there is 3,000 meter vision. We're gonna try the approach."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna. And yes, at one point we went into the clouds, and then suddenly there was the ground. Boom. Such is the material world. Sometimes there is fog. Sometimes we don't know what to do anymore. Sometimes it's not clear where we are heading with our life. What are we doing? Material life, doubts come. Spiritual life, no one loses. No one. Everyone simply gains. Even if we can't dance and just sit on the chair. All right, also good. Also good. Just by hearing, by watching, the soul dances. So in this way, this is not ordinary activity. This is transcendental. And transcendental means it awakens love in our heart. It's like we can say, what is it about kirtan? One can say, I love it. Yeah. What is it about prasadam? We love it. Yeah. What is it about spiritual life? We just love it. Because that's actually the nature of spiritual life, that love is awakening. And it is a kind of love which has no shadow side. Here in this material world, when we love one side of something. But that's the material world. You know, you can say, I love South Africa. Yeah, okay, But you also hate South Africa sometimes. You know, there are those days you think, oh God, South Africa, I wish I could get out of this place. And other days, you know, other days you kiss the ground and say, South Africa. Next time. It's like that, because in the material world, love is like that. You love your child, but you know there are moments when the child is screaming its head off when you love it a little less. It drives you nuts. So that side you don't love so much. You still love the other side, of course, but that side is not so lovable. So that is the difficulty in the material world, that wherever there's love, there's always the other not so lovable side. That is anything in the material world. But with Krishna, it's not like that. Everything is lovable. Of course, in the beginning, we're a little hesitant. I mean, really? Is everything about Krishna lovable? Well, I don't know. What about that universal form of Krishna? That's not so lovable. No, that's true, but that's not Krishna. That's Krishna's expansion. Krishna directly is just lovable. And if you get involved with Krishna directly, what's not lovable about Krishna? We love the way he smashes the demons. We do. Demons should be smashed. Great. We love the way he dances on the hoods of Kaliya. It's creative. A creative. Who would think of that? To dance on the hoods of a snake. And it's not an ordinary snake with one head, a many hooded snake. Why not? And before that, that snake was in the river Yamuna. And before that, Krishna jumped in the river Yamuna. And suddenly the whole river, the water was rising with 1 foot. So that was already showing that not an ordinary person has just jumped in the water. And then the first thing Krishna did is he started to make music with the water. I guess something like in other rhythms, you know. Raj could do something, I'm sure, if he get fired up. Anyway, Krishna was playing and making musical sounds with the water to indicate what was coming. We're going to dance, we need some music here. And then that serpent couldn't tolerate that music and came out. Next moment, he had captured Krishna. But Krishna freed himself after some time and danced on these hoods of Kaliya. Very elegantly. Very elegantly. So, imagine what kind of dancing. I mean, this is dancing here on the floor. I appreciate it. That's all right. It wasn't bad. It was all right. You know. I mean, sure. Some of you did jump high, I must say. To elegantly dance on many moving hoots of a snake that is constantly trying to bite your feet. You got to be quick when you dance like that. So Krishna moved his feet very fast, so that snake missed again and again and again, while Krishna swirled around and then bang, kicked another head. And like that. Very playfully, playfully, Krishna performs his pastimes in such a way that everyone's just amazed. And anyway, the whole thing was that snake had been in the Yamuna and the water was poisoned. And Krishna was looking for a missed calf, and all the other cowherd boys and calves drank the water. And they were all dead when Krishna came back. But Krishna revived them. So the cowherd boys were just like, we were dead, and we are alive, right? Sort of. And the next moment, Krishna jumps in the water and starts this fight with this big snake and gets caught up in the coils of the snake, and the cowherd boys almost died for the second time. So the emotional intensity of the day was on the extreme side. I mean, you could call it a hell of a day. I mean, one of those days, you know. I mean, first you die. I mean, that's a pretty intense beginning, right? But then you get revived. That's okay. Bye, Krishna, your best friend.
thanks Krishna so much. Next moment, Krishna almost dies, and that made the cowherd boys also almost die again. And just when they were at the verge of like no longer being able to tolerate it, then Krishna freed himself and starts to dance in that very elegant way. So that's from one moment from like total despair to like incredible beauty and ecstasy and playfulness, and I mean, you can understand, it blew their mind completely. They went like from hell to the spiritual world. I have myself once an experience that I was at a dentist who had a video in the ceiling, and on the video he showed videos of Prabhupada, and at the same time he's drilling my teeth. And so part of me was in hell, and the other part went to the spiritual world, and sort of like, well, it was a strange experience because I was still in hell. So these coward boys also went from like hell up to the spiritual world. So it's not boring, you know. Sometimes in the material world, you can't really say that you're suffering. You can't really say that it's bad. It's just boring. You know what I mean? It's just like terribly boring. I mean, where shall we go? Dunno. What shall we do? Dunno. You want to eat something? No. Want to see a movie? No. Shall we go? No. What's wrong with you? I'm bored. So that getting bored is another feature of the material world. It's when suffering is not intense due to whatever difficulty, but when the material world is just unfulfilling. It's just unfulfilling. And everyone has a share of that. And it's just... dinner. Just dinner. What do you want to do with your life? Dinner. That's the worst, probably. Right? When you have no more ideals, no more dreams. You have any dreams? Dinner. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's not like that. It's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Rila, chapter 4, there's a description of Radharani. And it says that Radharani, her love is like a mirror that is reflecting the qualities of Krishna and then embracing the qualities of Krishna. So, each time she discovers a new quality of Krishna, so then her love increases. And this goes on eternally. So it's not like, you know, in the spiritual world, and what's it like? What are we doing today? Loving Krishna. Well, we did that yesterday also. I mean, we've been loving Krishna forever. Can't we hate him for a day? Grow fangs and claws. And just, you know, and just fight. No, there's no need. And there's no need. In the material world, yes. Sometimes you need. Even in the best of marriages, some days you think, today I'm going to pick a fight. So, getting ready. But in the spiritual world, the love is not like ever limited. There's always new qualities of Krishna that are discovered and that are also awakening further love. So it's not boring, it's growing forever. I mean, and then it's not only one person, then it's unlimited people, unlimited persons like that, and all the animals and the trees. the waters, everything is just ecstatic. It's not like, oh, there's a tree. Trees are brown and green. Tree. No, it's ecstatic tree. Shaking. In ecstasy. Honey, flowers coming, honey dripping. A tree like that. The birds are flying in ecstasy in the sky, chanting their heads off. We saw in Mayapur, we were going by boat to Mongachi, and we're coming through this canal. There's a canal you have to go through. We're coming through the canal, there was a tree next to the canal. We're just like just having this kirtan, actually the same tune. Rama Rama. And there was this crow sitting in the tree, and he was also going like, totally got into his Rama Ramas. absorbed, transcendental crow, Mayapur, not ordinary crow. Yeah. Again and again. And then, as we came back by boat, then the dolphins started dancing. You know, jump out of the water in front of our boat. The spiritual world. So there's no limit in the spiritual world. Everyone is experiencing that ever-increasing ecstasy. Always discovering new features of Krishna. So it's not only that, so one day when we'll come to the spiritual world, it will be like that. No, it has already started now. It's already begun. It's already happening a bit. It's already a bit, we can have I Love Kirtan t-shirts, no problem. We can have, Paco loves pakoras. Things like this, it's already awakening. And this awakening will continue and continue. So that's really like the spiritual dimension that's behind it all. And that's my point, is that behind whatever we did, there is a spiritual dimension. It's more than just this little floor here. It's much more. There is a spiritual dimension behind. Okay, a few questions from your side, and then I hope the prasadam is ready. I think we had the kirtan for today. This was it, to tell you. This is what you got today. I still have some chanting to do before. So, questions? Questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were just telling us that this whole activity that we did is spiritual. Is it parallel to the material world, or...?
Yeah, you could say that. In a way, we're bouncing around on a wooden floor. And if someone lands on your toe, then like that, then. And some material words can come out of your mouth also. Which I will not say now in public. So, there seems to be a material side to it all. Huh? We're going to take prasadam, and some people are going to eat too much. Huh? I can guarantee it. For sure. Some are going to just eat too much. Just afterwards think, why did I do that? That's what happens.
So the material side is there that we experience, but at the same time there's the spiritual dimension. So we're simultaneously in both. Of course, it becomes all spiritualized. The whole material becomes spiritualized. And that's also there. You know, this is the embassy of the spiritual world here in Pretoria. You know, I mean, this is the one. It is. And when you go through that gate, out down there, that gate, you know, with the chakras on it, so, and go through there, you go into through an invisible wall into another domain. It may not look like that. Pretoria. No, it's not Pretoria at all. It's the spiritual world with a little layer of Pretoria on top. That's all. Actually, it's the spiritual world, but there's a little layer of illusory energy on top that makes it look like the material. That's what's cooking.
We can be trying to immerse ourselves in spiritual activities but not really feel connected or feel bored. How can you dive deeper? How can you get deeper into it rather than float on the surface?
How can you dive deeper rather than float on the surface? Even in spiritual life, sometimes it seems you get bored. Not penetrate, not really be there. How to do it? Yeah, well, together, Sankirtan is the process. Sankirtan is the process that has the mercy. Sankirtan means to do the congregational chanting, to do it together. Of course, I must admit, sometimes I jump around the room all by myself. I do, and that's also fun. It is. But when you are jumping together with others, then, you know, one is sort of challenging the other. If someone does something, then someone else is going to do something else. Like this. So, Together we're going to pull ourselves out of this lower state of consciousness, this which is called tamagun, the mood of ignorance, that one, that deep, dark, foggy curtain that sometimes appears in our consciousness. We're going to pierce it, we're going to break through by together creating a lot of positive energy. And therefore we always need to think of what can we do next. Therefore what we're going to do next is the way to Ratiyatra. And, well, you know, every Ratiyatra in South Africa has something special, absolutely. Like, you know, Durban, it's the biggest. You get most people. It's enormous. So, okay, that's Durban. It's a serious party. Pretoria, well, we got the Union Building. That's something. It's not nothing. In Cape Town, we're just on the beach and we got all the tourists. Like, we left one year, we left with like 400 and we came back with 1,200. And we had Muslims, we had everybody, tourists, people from all over the world were pulling the chariot. Wow, China, the great shoe, great temple shoes you got. Cool. Super baby. It fits, huh? Anyway, so then we got to just create more and more events together. Doesn't matter. Sometimes it's wild, sometimes it's deep. Like you have these japa retreats, you know, everyone sits down and just suddenly starts seriously chant like they never did before. And But because they do it all together, it creates so much energy. So together we're going to do it. And that's the only way. So whenever it gets boring, then you just call some people together and start talking, make plans with them to create another event. And then it gets exciting again. And there are no limits. Everything is possible. As Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So, because Krishna helps. So we can take on something big.
Yeah. Funny about the story, but Smadhar Maharaj could describe the pastime of the Kundichatana.
Uh-huh. Gundicha Temple, every year at Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath goes on his chariot and then drives along the main road and then comes to the Gundicha Temple. That temple is named after Queen Gundicha, and there Lord Jagannath is then staying for a week, and on the eighth day he returns. So the gardens of this temple are like Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya went there with his devotees to clean that temple so that Lord Jagannath would get a clean place to stay. And Lord Chaitanya started the competition. And he said and he's encouraging everyone to sweep and sweep and collect the most dirt. And Lord Chaitanya, he himself was sweeping with his cloth, not with a broom. And he made a pile of dirt, and his pile was bigger than the pile of all the others together. And if someone didn't do much dirt, then Lord Chaitanya would get on his case. Say, what's this? Hey, get it together. More. So then, after they swept out all the dirt, then the supervisor of the temple brought many, many clay pots, and with these clay pots they went to a nearby water reservoir called Indrajumna Sarovar, and they were going there with these pots and scooping them up and running up and down, and some were running with pots from the water towards the temple. And others were running back with empty pots, and sometimes they collided and bang, smashed the pots. And one person was getting water, and then someone else, and then they started to pass it on to others and make a bit of a human chain at one point. And then one said, "Krishna, Krishna," which meant, "Give me that pot of water." And someone else said, "Krishna," and said, "Throw this water here." And the whole language just became Krishna, Krishna everywhere, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And everyone understood each other. Krishna, 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 Krishna. There must have been many ways to say Krishna, and everyone could fully understand each other. Krishna was the language, nothing else. And the whole temple was echoing with Krishna, throwing water everywhere to the ceiling, and then the water was just running out in streams, and then the whole temple was fresh and clean. And when they came out of the temple, then somehow or other, mysteriously, all the pathways and roads were also cleansed. How, nobody knew. And then it is said, actually, this cleansing of the temple is the cleansing of the heart. And two times, one first sweeping out some dirt and then second time washing. Why two times? Because first the gross sinful things have to go out, all these gross sinful things. And then the final qualities have to be developed. The qualities of our, the characteristics have to be developed. That's more difficult. Just like in the first initiation, we kick out all the sinful activities. No more fish, meat, eggs, gambling, intoxication, lizard sex, and so on. But
then the more subtle comes after. That's more difficult. More difficult.
In this way, gradually, we are first kick out the sinful activities, then developing the qualities of a pure devotee, who is kind, who is full of mercy, who is humble, who is tolerant, who is honest, who is noble in character, who is a friend, a real friend to others. Like that, gradually.
Who's a poet?
Yeah. What else? God, there's 26, I can't remember 26. Mighty Kami. I had a lot of it.
Expert.
Is that one of the 26? Are you sure?
Not one of the qualities of Krishna.
It's one of the 26 qualities of a devotee.
You must know because you are expert. Somebody's getting me.
Like that.
Silent.
Silent. I can't remember. Like that. Gundicha marginal. Cleansing of the Gundicha temple.
Lord Chaitanya did it every year. We also, following him. Sort of.
Do it at the ashram every year. And almost like, especially at this season, like rapid, week after week, how do we develop the same day here? Or like this is, they knew that Lord Jagannath would probably like stay away from temple like for the days.
Yeah. Well, that would take time, you know, like, maybe we cannot immediately develop the same day ahead, but, little by little, you know, ratiyatra after ratiyatra, we become addicted, and you know, we were just in this kirtan mela in Europe, right? And then after a whole week, you know, of chanting Hare Krishna the whole day and dancing the whole day, then it ended with the ratiyatra. So you can understand that the ratiyatra was powerful. And then, okay, I started the kirtan, and then Lokanath Maharaj is leading the kirtan. And Satchinanda Maharaj finished it off like the cream, you know. So it was like, it was a powerful ratiyatra. It was really like happening. And now, Lokanath Maharaj is going to join the Saweta ratiyatra. So, and me too. So we're going to try and take the kirtan mela energy into Saweta now. So, it builds up, it just builds up over time, gradually, like these devotees, they were, of Lord Chaitanya, they just become so ecstatic in these amazing kirtans with Lord Chaitanya, then, you know, from one, then it's, and they came before Ratiyatra and they'd have like Prem Sankirtan. Ecstatic kirtan, and then the next day they would, and then they'd have ratiyatra. It's like, everyone's just already ecstatic before ratiyatra. So we should also get in.